The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Today I hope to finish the sermon that the Lord put on my heart for today. And it's about dreaming. There we go. New Beginnings 2014, verse part 3. Now this is the story of Joseph. So you all know the story of Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. And he had dreams, and he told those dreams to some people who didn't like him. And so we pick up here in verse 37, chapter 37. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. I'm glad I'm an only child when you read this kind of stuff, you know. They plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. And Father, we ask that you would feed us this morning on your word, that we might learn the things that you have us to know, that you would speak to our hearts in such a way that we would be changed, that we would learn new things about you and about your divine plans for our lives. Father, let our time together be such that when we walk out of this building, we will say boldly that we were touched by the hand of God. Father, this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. As I told you several weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word for this year. 2014 is the year of your dreams. And I believe it's going to be old dreams that will be fulfilled. It'll be new dreams that God will give us. And so, since I started speaking about that, more and more of you have been telling me about some dreams that you've had. Joseph was a dreamer. He had dreams and he interpreted dreams. And when he shared with his brothers and his family the dream that God had given him, like men today who reject the grace of God, and the messengers that proclaim it, these men rejected the message that God had to give to them. They said to themselves and to each other, to encourage their unbelief, here comes that dreamer. Now, when we think of that today, we think of it as being very polite and, you know, a declaration of who he was, but they said it with venom in their heart, that Joseph, this favorite son of Jacob, who had the coat of many colors, the one that said that God gave him a vision and a dream, and he shared it with them, they didn't like it one bit, and they plotted to kill him. Literally, that word dreamer, if you were to translate it literally, you could do it one of three ways. You could say, the Lord of dreams, or the master of dreams, or the owner of dreams. Kind of interesting little interplay with the way that you could translate that. Joseph's dreams would ultimately change the course of history. Ultimately, they would do that. He had two dreams. He dreamed that there were some bundles of grain, and that there was a bundle of grain in the center. There was a circle. And all those bundles of grains bow down to the grain stalk in the middle. And he said that God was saying to his brothers that they would bow down to him. Well, again, I'm an only child, but I imagine this is not the way to win people and influence friends. You know, maybe he should have used a little bit more discretion about what God had told him. But that's what he said. That's what he told him. That his brothers would bow down to him. They were madder than the proverbial wet hen about that. as we just read, they plotted how they could kill him and get rid of him. But you know what? One day they did. Joseph had another dream. And he saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars. And he shared with his mom and dad and his brothers that God was telling him that they would bow down to him, his entire family, through this dream. Well, if I'd have told my dad that he would bow down to me, I promise you, I would have bowed down right there. You know, it'd have been all over. I mean, and that kind of environment took place. Would you say it'd have been bent over, not bowed over? Yeah. So again, they rejected it. You know, and I'm going to talk to you in some more detail about this in a few minutes. But eventually, they did. They eventually did. As you know, ultimately, Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph was sold into slavery, ended up in Egypt. And while he was there, as you know, he was accused of doing things that he didn't do. He ended up in jail. Ultimately, he interpreted some dreams. For two men, they went and told Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. No one could interpret it. He called Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. And the interpretation of that dream ultimately led to the salvation of Egypt in a world famine. But more importantly, it ended up in saving all of Israel. So, they've used this word, dreamer, as a word of contempt. Some of you, when you were in school, mostly you guys, you probably heard somebody say to you that you were daydreaming, all right? So it's not been used in a great way, but we're going to find out how great dreams really are. So we're going to continue our study that we began 2 weeks ago, actually, and how God works through dreamers. God's dreamers will never be understood. They'll never be understood. Genesis 37, 10 and 11. When he told his father as well as his brothers, and he told them about the dream and the interpretation of the dream, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the matter in mind. God speaks in dreams and visions, so only believers will know what plans he has for them. Now you might say, why does God do that? Why doesn't he just come out and just say what he wants to say? Well, he does that on occasion. In fact, some of prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Joel and some others, God came out and said exactly what he wanted to say. The folks didn't like what he had to say because they were in rebellion against him, worshiping other gods, and he told them no judgment would be upon them because of that. But no one in the Old Testament really understood the plans that God had. Theologians say that he spoke in types and shadows, in imagery that they didn't get. For instance, the tree of life. The tree of life actually was speaking of Christ. That's where life comes from. There were two trees in the garden. You remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which Adam and Eve ate, and which was the fall of man. But there was another tree they could have eaten of, which they didn't eat of, which is the tree of life, which is Christ. And, you know, so often the world today eats of the knowledge of good and evil and doesn't eat of the tree of life because they don't understand it. They reject it, just like Joseph and Joseph's brothers and his parents rejected the truth that was there because they didn't understand it. People reject Christ today because they don't understand it. They don't partake. If they understood, you know, Becky, you were saying earlier that, you know, you rejected it. You know, you don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about that. And most of us here can identify with that. But when you did and you partook of the tree of life, it changed you. And that changes. Jesus called it being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible word of God. The imagery of Noah's Ark. Some people think it's just a kid's story about a boat and some animals. The truth is, it's a picture of how life is preserved in Christ. And in Christ alone is life preserved. And those who reject it, as you know, the great flood, none of them lived. Neither beasts, nor birds, nor man live, because they rejected that vision, that imagery. The imagery of the Passover. When the Israelis left Egypt and they had to kill a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. That was an imagery of Christ's blood being shed. Everyone who was in the house, where they were under the protection of the blood, survived the day that the death angel came and passed over them. That's where they get the Passover from that the Jews celebrate today. It was speaking of Christ and all those who are under the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When the death angel comes, he passes over you. Death has no more sting for you. You're no longer under the penalty of sin and death, but you've been set free from that. That's an imagery out of the Old Testament. The imagery of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the most holy place. Inside of there was Aaron's rod that budded, and manna from their journey through the wilderness, and the stones that Moses brought down from the mountain. Aaron's rod that budded speaks of something dead being made alive. That's what happens to us. And Paul said in Ephesians, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. God has made us alive. That's what that imagery is. The manna that was there. Remember, manna was only good for one day. And they were to put it in a jar and put it in the Ark of the Covenant as a reminder that God is our provider. He provides for us. Jesus said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, it's a picture of him, that we eat of him and that we are sustained. Not in eating the things of the world, but that those things that God himself provides for us, just like during the fast. We're eating of things that are not of the world. We're eating of manna from heaven. We're eating of God himself and Christ in a very real kind of way. When the stones that were brought down, that were chiseled with the Ten Commandments, the law, which really represents the law in many ways, and that was put in there. And then the mercy seat was put on top of it. And year after year after year, the high priest would go in there and sprinkle blood on it. And it's a picture that the law is covered with the blood, that we can't keep the law. Remember, Moses gave us a vivid picture of that when he came down off the mountain and he saw what the people were doing. They were worshiping a golden idol and he threw the stones down. And that is a picture of all the law being broken. It didn't even make it from the top of the mountain to the bottom. The mountain thing was all broken. He had to go back and get a new set. And this set, when he brought it down, was put in the ark so that the blood would cover it. See? So those are all imageries. And dreams are like that. We don't always see them, and they're not always clear. But if we'll search and look, we'll see greater things. Joseph's father and brothers should have sought God about the dream, but they didn't. And one thing I've learned in this past several weeks since the beginning of the year, when the Lord just put it on my heart about this would be the year of dreams, is begin to think about our dreams. And some of you are beginning to do that. You're not just throwing them away. It's too much pizza. You know, you're beginning to question, what are these? Some of you have never dreamed. Some of you told me you just never dreamed, and you had a dream. And some of you shared it with me, and you're searching about what God wants to tell you through that imagery. It won't be clear unless you seek God, and then he'll give that to you, the thing that you need. Now, Joseph was ridiculed when he should have been praised. Now, I need to tell you this as a word of admonition. If God gives you a dream, don't go run to people who don't know God and tell them about it. All right? Because you're going to get yourself in more trouble than you want to be in. You will not be received, especially if you go to an unbeliever and you share, well, I had a dream about, you know, whatever it may be. Maybe you had a dream that you kept running up a flight of stairs and falling down and running up a flight of stairs and falling down and running up and falling down, and you did that 7 times, and that was a dream, and you woke up and you would ask them, what does that mean? They would have a clue, and they would wonder about your sanity. You know, they'd wonder how well off you really are. So if you have these dreams, go find someone spiritual, someone that you think might have the ability to interpret that dream, okay? Otherwise, I'm telling you, it just won't be received and it won't be understood. Joseph was persecuted when he should have been helped. For some reason, we believe that that Christendom ought to be easy. You know, that life should be easy. I'm sure if you were to ask Joseph, you know, he had it made. His daddy loved him, you know. He was a child of promise. His daddy made him a beautiful coat to wear. Life was good. His brothers were working. He evidently was too young to put in a lot of work, and he was just sent out to check on his brothers when they were out in the field when all of this happened. And Joseph expected to go home and be comfortable. It didn't work out that way. I want to tell you that if you're serving God and everything's nice and comfortable and you're like Joseph, you probably need a dream. Because the walk in the Christian walk is filled with God's glory and God's peace and God's provisioning, but it's usually a difficult walk where you're misunderstood. People say things about you that aren't true. You're ridiculed. I mean, I've had such horrible things said about me just through the years. I won't even, you know, go into it all. I mean, and I've not only had people say things privately about me, I've had people say things publicly about me that just weren't true. So, you know, the walk is not always easy. Joseph didn't plan on spending time in a pit. He certainly didn't plan on being sold by his brothers. For goodness sakes, his own brothers sold him into slavery and took him off with no more than a fare-thee-well. Took his beautiful coat and slew an animal, dipped it in blood, and brought it to his dad and said, "We found this," and evidently Joseph was devoured by a wild beast. God had a plan for Joseph, and it was an awesome plan, but it came via a dream. Joseph was misunderstood when he should have been consulted. You know, when you're serving God, people are not always going to understand you. If you go home and you tell somebody that doesn't know the Lord, you say, "Man, we had a great service. There was a cloud of glory showed up in the building, and we worshiped God, and somebody got healed," and they're not buying. They're not buying. And heavens, if you tell them you spoke in other tongues, you know, that's really going to get you a lot of trouble. You know, folks aren't interested in that because we are misunderstood and will never be understood. You will just be prepared for ridicule, persecution, and being misunderstood if you ever say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, that's one side of the equation. What's the other side of the equation? The other side of the equation is the heavens, and in the heavens the angels rejoice. God is pouring out blessings on you, doing great things in your life and through your life that the world will never understand. So God's giving you blessings. The world is giving you ridicule and cursing because they don't understand. Now what happens is when people in the world finally figure it out and they come to Christ, their whole life suddenly changes. Tell you a story. There was a guy by the name of Eli. He used to work for me when I worked in Houston. Eli was, by my definition, a nutcase. I thought Eli was sick. He was a computer programmer, and he did a good job. But, you know, sometimes computer programmers, and if you've ever worked with them, they're a little wacky, you know. Well, I thought he was really wacky. He used to talk about going to church 3 times a week and giving tithes. He didn't make the money I made. He had more kids than I had. And I told him, "Are you crazy giving your money to those preachers? You know, all they want to use your money. You know, you want to give money, give me some money. I need some money. Don't be giving it to those guys." And I just razzed him and razzed him and gave him a hard time every day. Wow. Then I left Houston and I came to Slidell. And God's divine plan, I was kind of sold into slavery. I lost everything that I thought would be valuable. I didn't have any money, and I found Christ. I'm not going through my whole testimony. And you know one of the first things I did? I wrote a letter to Eli and asked him to forgive me for mistreating him and abusing him. What happened? I went from death to life, and then I understood what he was doing. And he wrote me back the most gracious letter. And I told him to tell my fellow co-workers what had happened to me. And he wrote back, and he said, Morris, I've been praying for you. You don't owe me an apology about anything. I'm just so happy for you. He said, and I shared it with some of the guys, and he named it, and they think you've gone off the deep end. I used to be a brilliant guy, you know, a goomba, you know, having fun, you know, and then I became whacked out because the world will never understand you. So you need to be prepared for that. And some of you are not really ready for that. You wonder why you're not the most popular person in your family or in your community. It's when you say, thus saith the Lord, and you trust in him, you will never be understood. Dreams or truth clouded for only believers to understand. Only for believers to understand. You know, I didn't preach last week, but I had in my notes something that I wasn't sure I was going to speak about. And I left it in there as I was going through it to prepare for this week. And I had my dream on Monday. I dreamt about the cat with the big eyes. And on Tuesday, I dreamt about the bear and the lion and an animal that I couldn't remember. And on Wednesday, I dreamt about a woman in a restaurant who was thrashing around on the floor who wouldn't let me help her get up, and there was another woman there. And it's so bizarre that I didn't think that I would share it with anyone. As it turns out, that's exactly what I shared with you guys last week. And just briefly, for those of you who won't hear, you'll be walking out here, one that was about, the Lord showed me that the eyes, the big eyes, were the world that was watching us to see us. And it was confirmed. Sharon confirmed it, that she had a very similar thing. The animals were the demonic forces. A bear that was very vicious was the forces of evil that come against us. And the lion are demon forces that are around us, and we see them, but they look very docile because this lion is very docile. And the third one, which I knew was demonic, but you know, the Lord revealed this to me Sunday morning before I came to church. And when we were talking about that, I said I couldn't see it, but I thought it was spiritual forces that were not near. And as we shared last Sunday, I believe it was Jim said, those are the demonic forces that are attacking our brothers around the world that we don't see, but those things are happening. And then the lady on the floor were the people who won't receive the help from the church. They just reject it, and they turn away, and they don't want it. And the woman that was standing there represented the leadership and the people of the church who were standing by to help when this woman was willing to receive help. Now, if you want to hear the long version of that, you'll have to get the video from last week. But I didn't know what that was about. I didn't know what the dream was about. And I asked Jim if he had any clue, and he didn't have a clue. I talked to him about it, I think, Thursday when we had breakfast, and he said it didn't mean a thing to him, and it didn't mean a thing to me until Sunday morning when I was getting ready for church when the Lord revealed it to me. So God gives you a dream. It may not make any sense at all. It didn't make any sense to me. It only made sense when the Holy Spirit revealed it. Okay? Some of you still think I'm a little wacky, and I probably am, but that's okay. All right. All right, the second thing I want to talk to you about, how God works with dreams. God's dreamers are sent to help others. Genesis chapter 40. Joseph had been accused by Potiphar, the guy that owned him. She accused him of trying to seduce her. Joseph was put in jail. While he was there, after he'd been there for some time, two guys showed up, a cupbearer and a baker. And these two guys worked for Pharaoh, and they got in trouble with Pharaoh. He threw them in a slammer with Joseph, all right? And this is, so he being Joseph, asked Potiphar's officials, and I put in there for you so you know what it was, the cupbearer and the baker, who were in custody with him in the master's house, which is really the jail, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So Joseph was able to not only dream, but he also was able to interpret dreams. The cupbearer and the baker had dreams from God, but they couldn't understand them. So again, the unbeliever won't be able to understand them, but God sent help to them in the form of Joseph. All right? The unbelievers needed help. Unbelievers need help, whether they know it or not. Some people think they're very self-sufficient. They can get along without God, without God's direction. The truth is that you really can't. You can live, but you will never have real victory in your life until you know about God and God's plan for your life. And remember, Rick Warren wrote that book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Very good exhortation about seeking God's will for your life. Now, Joseph was in Egypt because of his dreams. The cupbearer had a dream. And Joseph interpreted the dream. And he said, "This is what your dream means. In 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your position with Pharaoh." Well, the other guy, the baker, sees what's going on. He says, "Well, let me tell you my dream." And he shared his dream. And Joseph said, "This is what your dream means. In 3 days, you're going to go back to see Pharaoh, and he's going to cut your head off. This is not good news." You know, that's the kind of dream you don't want to have interpreted, all right? But that's what it was. And that came to pass, exactly as Joseph said. Joseph said, "Would you please remember me?" A great lesson for you. They didn't remember him for 2 years. People are not interested in you if they don't know God, all right? This guy didn't know. Pharaoh had a dream. He was trying to get people to interpret it. The cupbearer said, "Hey, there was a guy in your jail." I think he's still there, by the way. "And he interpreted a dream for me and for the baker. Why don't you get him?" So Pharaoh sent for him. He was really cruddy. He was dirty. He had a shave, dress him up, put some perfume on him. Put some cologne on him. And he went to see Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "I understand you can interpret dreams." He said, "No, I can't interpret dreams, but God can. Tell me your dream." And he told him the dream. And Joseph said, "There's two dreams mean the same thing. We're going to have 7 years of bounty, and then we're going to have 7 years of famine." And when this guy heard that, he asked for the dream to be interpreted. And he said, "Joseph, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be in charge of everything around here, except some things that I reserve that belong only to the governing of Egypt." Now, the world needs dreamers, and it needs visionaries. And you need to ask God about those who need help, that you can bring help to them. One of the things I've discovered, in the ministry, when those of you who are in ministry, you think God's calling you in the ministry, or those who are in leadership need to understand this, sometimes you'll go to someone and their problems are so big, you don't have a clue how to handle it. And in the natural, you won't know. And what you need to do is pray and ask God for revelation. Give you a vision. Give you a word for that individual so that you can bring that word to them to exhort them and encourage them. And sometimes you may not understand what you're saying, but when they hear it, it'll click. And they'll know what it is. I've told you this story before, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but just to highlight it quickly. A young woman who was a prophetess, I was at my home in a Bible study, and I had a very serious business thing that was coming up. And this was on a Friday night, and she said, and it was coming up that Monday. I asked them to pray for me. And she said, "Morris, I see a vision of grass." And I said, "Yeah?" And I said, "She said, it's tall grass, like real tall grass." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she said, "I don't know." She didn't know. She didn't have the interpretation of it. Long story short, I went to the, it was a deposition, and when I got there, but the situation was, if I would have told the truth, I would have got fired. If I lied, God would have zapped me. All right? So I was really in a tither as to what to do. And when I walked into this giant law firm down in New Orleans, and I walked in the conference room, and they had, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 lawyers, a couple of court stenographers, and it was a very tension-filled room. And I walked in every wall in the entire place, and they had big high ceilings in this wall, in this place, it was maybe 12-foot ceilings, was a mural of tall, tall grass. Tall, tall grass. And when I saw it, I started laughing. They asked me, what are you laughing about? I said, you wouldn't understand if I told you. All right? But I knew that it was God giving me a revelation of what was going to happen that day, that I'd walk out of there okay. And I walked out of there. These guys asked me for over about an hour and a half. I was deposed. They asked me every question under the sun except the question about what the lawsuit was about. They didn't ask one question about, they asked me where I went to school, how many kids I had, what was my education, you know, experience. They asked me a million things. They didn't ask one thing about the case. And when I walked out of there, they had 3 attorneys with me, and they said, what the heck was that? And I said, God was taking care of me that day. God was taking care of me. So the unbelievers won't understand it, but sometimes we're sent to help. And I ended up with help from a gal who had a vision of grass. All right? So you just never know how God will use you, but be willing to be used. And if you have a dream or a vision, it may not make any sense to you in the natural, but share it with someone, either the person that you feel it's for, or pray about who it may be for. Many times you get words and visions for someone, and you need to pray about sharing it. And if you get a piece about it, go ahead and share it. Because most of the time, well, not most of the time, every time it's from God, that person will receive it and they'll know it's from God. Now, I'll tell you another story. I was in a church, and after the services, a woman came up to me and she said, God told me to tell you that you're going to have great tragedy come into your life. And it's coming now. I didn't know this lady. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm not receiving that. I'm not receiving it. But let me mull on it and pray about it. And if it's of God, he'll reveal to me that it's of God. So the point is, sometimes people are bringing you things that may not be of God. Okay? That's why we need the Holy Spirit gifts, such as the discerning of spirits. We need to be able to discern. I went to see the pastor of that church, and I described the woman. It was a large church. I said, do you know her? He said, I've never seen her before in my life. I said, well, I told him what he told me. He prayed with me. I said, I'm not receiving that because I don't believe that's of the Lord. And it wasn't. Nothing bad happened to me. Okay? So you need to be discerning. Be careful what people tell you. Be careful what you tell other people. Make sure you pray about it. Why am I going through all of this? Why am I telling? Because this is serious business. You're talking about people's lives. You're talking about what you might affect their life for good or for evil. So you need to make sure that you don't take this as some kind of spiritual play toy, and just because you have a dream about someone, to run to them and tell them what it is, unless you pray about it and you have a sense of well-being that this is from God. Because sometimes it's not. Sometimes our dreams are just our brains going through some junk. But sometimes it's of God. See, I knew Monday that dream about the cat was from God, but I didn't know what it meant. I knew Tuesday the dream about the animals from God, but I didn't know what it meant. I knew Wednesday that the dream about the restaurant lady was from God, but I didn't know what it meant. How did I know? Because of the gift of discerning of spirits told me in my innermost being that it was of God. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? And some of you might be able to testify and, you know, that you've experienced exactly what I'm saying. Okay? So If it's for someone, God wants to bring help to them, but make sure that you have a right word. Don't go up to somebody and tell them they're going to die. My dear friend in the Lord, Jim Hickman, he got up on Sunday morning preaching. His mother and dad were in church. And he got up on Sunday morning and he's just weeping and crying. And he says publicly, "The Lord told me," and he goes over by his mom, he said, "The Lord told me that my mother was going to die. And, we need to pray for her." And he's just going on and on and on and on. And his mother lived for years. Of course she died. She was an old woman. She was going to die. But that wasn't a word from the Lord. And Jim didn't, I don't know where he was that day. He just got carried away. I guess he was feeling empathy for his mom. And I'm sure he had a dream, but it wasn't of the Lord for that day. And he actually repented of that later. So just be careful when you have these kinds of things. Jesus was a dreamer and a visionary. He was probably the greatest dreamer and visionary. And he was sent to rescue mankind. He was sent to help us. Now, he was rejected when he told the truth. Every time he told the truth, they rejected it. They didn't want to hear it. "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll not enter the kingdom of God." "We don't want that. We're out of here. You know, take all your goods, sell them, give them to the poor, come follow me." "Thanks a lot. I think I'm going to go to the other church in town. I don't want to be a part of that." Every time he said the truth, the religious, worldly crowd rejected it. But when he told the future about things, they ended up crucifying him for it. He said, "If you destroy this temple in 3 days, God will raise it up." And they thought he was talking about the temple. They said, "What, you're talking about this thing? It took 100 years or whatever it was to build this thing, and you're going to build it in 3 days?" But he was speaking the truth about a future event that they did not understand. Many times he spoke in parables. And they said, "Why are you speaking in parables?" And he said, "Because it's not for the world to know these things. These things are being revealed to the children of God," all right, in the kingdom of God. So sometimes God is revealing stuff to you for someone else. I ran across this. And it's a little write-up by Charles Spurgeon. Y'all remember Charles Spurgeon? Great preacher, evangelist from yesteryear. And he said this: "Cardinal men hear of the beauty of holiness, of the excellency of Christ, of the preciousness of the covenant, of the rich treasures of grace, as if they were in a dream. They look upon such things as mere fantasies, like the foolish dreams of golden mountains or of showers of pearls. This, their way, is their folly." See, they think the dreams and that are just folly and foolishness. Spurgeon goes on to say, "Oh, my Lord, whatever others may think of me, let me be more and more sensible of thy presence." So let me experience your presence. "And of the glorious privileges and hopes which are created in the heart by thy grace. If men should ever say of me, as they said of Joseph, 'Behold, the dreamer cometh,' it will not grieve me as long as thou art with me and thy favor blesses me." So you may be misunderstood by the world. They may not receive it, even if you bring help to someone. But as long as God is on your side, you have nothing to fear. Just be sure that you've heard from God when you have dreams. I believe that this year we will have dreams. Some of you are already experiencing it during the fast. I believe it's going to accelerate through the year. I'd encourage you to write it down. If necessary, keep your computer, iPad by your bed or a pencil and paper and write it down when you wake up, because it's precious on your mind when you wake up, and write it down so that you won't forget it. And then pray about it. And if it's a revelation, and it may not come that day. For me, it took almost a week before I began to understand it. Sometimes it may take longer than that. If you feel you need some help with it, find someone spiritual. Everybody say the word spiritual. Spiritual, right. Someone spiritual, and go to that person and ask him to help you, okay? And the Lord, I believe, will give you a revelation of that. Okay? We're okay? You dreamer, you. How God works with dreamers. God's dreams, dreamers are exonerated for all to see. Genesis 41. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning. Aha, there's that word we talked about. Discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. Wow, what a change. Someone preached a sermon series, it might have been me, from the prison to the palace, you know? Went from being in the dungeon to being the ruler of virtually everything in Egypt. Joseph was maligned by men, but he was exonerated by God. God will exonerate you. God will exonerate you. Those who speak evil of you because of your faith, those who think you're some kind of whacked out kook, will have to deal with that. If they call on you in effect, Joseph's brothers were really cursing him when they said that. And people may curse you and malign you and don't want to be around you and reject everything you have to say, but God will exonerate you. I'm going to tell you something. Now, some of you need to be in fear when I tell you this. Through the years, I've had people say some very nasty things about me and reject me. I mean, really, really, some really bad stuff. Now, I can't say this with 100% assurity, but virtually everyone that I can remember that it happened to, they had to come back to me and eat some crow. They had to come back. Am I telling the truth, Pat? Had to come back and apologize to me and ask for help. I ended up being the only person on the planet that would help them. There was a lady that went to a church I went to a long time ago, not this church, but another church. And God had called me to be into the ministry. Y'all know that story. But she believed that because I had been married, divorced, and remarried, that I wasn't qualified to preach. Well, the pastor of that church that I belonged to also believed the thing, but under God's divine direction, invited me to preach in his church. So I got up to preach that Sunday morning. It was only about the maybe third time I ever preached, I guess. This lady picked up her husband and her kids and walked out the door when I stood up to preach. Here's the good thing. I never saw it. I didn't know she had walked out. God just blinded me from it. So I wouldn't be upset about it. As it turns out, this woman got very, very sick. And she was kind of a feisty gal. You know feisty gals. You know, they exist. You know, she was a feisty gal. She was so feisty, she alienated everyone. No one would pray for her. No one would go visit her. No one would take care of her. The only person on the planet who would listen to her when she called was Pat and I. And she would call me, and she'd be sick, and she had cancer, and she was really in trouble. And I can't remember how many times she called me in the middle of the night and asked me to pray for her. And I would say, okay, I'll pray for you. And she said, no, I want you to come to my house and pray for me. I'd have to get out of my jammies and put my clothes on and go to my house and all night and pray for her. And this went on for a couple of years. And finally, one day, she came to me and she said, Morris, I want you to know I was wrong about you. She said, I got up and walked out the first time you preached, and I didn't know it because I didn't believe you could be a minister. And she went, should I want you to know I was wrong? You're the only man, the only pastor in this town will minister to me. Wow. I mean, that stunned me. But you see, God will exonerate you if people don't understand you. And I can tell you lots and lots of stories about that. And the reason I said you don't want to hear that story, because just be nice to me. You don't like crow when you have to eat it. I'm very gracious, but I do, you know, smile a little on the side, you know, when that happens, you know. So, you know, just an amazing thing, how God will lift you up. Dreamers put their faith in God. God speaks to them. They are favored of the Lord. And the secrets of the kingdom are made known to them. The secrets of the kingdom are not for the world. They're for the believers. And to believe. You know what? We sang that song that Evans wrote. You know, do you believe? And you know, we think of it about believing in Christ. Yes, that's the beginning of it all. But do you believe God? Do you believe that He wants to use you? Do you believe that He will use you? Do you believe that God would give you dreams and visions and words and use you in a great way? I'm so excited about Raina. Raina isn't old enough yet to know that, you know, people may not like her. You know, that people may reject her, that people may say things. But she's so excited because God called her. You know, well, during this past 2 Fridays ago, God called her. And Grandma's going to share that with her, or mother, or somebody's going to share it next week when you hear the whole story behind that. But, and then this morning, she gets up there and plays. What's the matter with your 8-year-old? I mean, doesn't she know she's not supposed to do that? You know, that's for the adults. You know, you can't do that, Raina. You know, get down off where you belong and go to children's church. See, she doesn't know. But as an adult, you know, you do anything that steps out of line, you will be spoken of. And maybe sometime asked to step down. But do you believe that God wants to use you? Raina believes. And I believe for her. And I don't know what you and your wife are going to do with her, girl. You better get ready. Something's happening in that girl's life. She brought little notes to Pat and I this morning. Did you know that? She wrote little notes and gave a little bracelet to her. She actually gave me a financial gift this morning.
She did.
She got money she gave. Oh, that's God, folks. That's God moving a little girl's heart. That meant more to me than a million things that have happened to me in my life. You know? It better be God. That's all I can tell you. But God exonerates us, and believers are open to receive dreams from God. Now, the dream may lead you to some hardship. If Joseph would have known where he was going to end up when his brother sold him in slavery, I think he probably would have said, too much pizza. You know, just kept his mouth shut. You know, he wouldn't have shared that dream. He wouldn't have shared what God had placed on his heart. But God used him. But he went through some hardship. Those dreams may take you places that you never dreamed of. Paul had a vision and a dream. And he said, I don't know whether it was in the flesh or in the spirit. I'm not sure what took place. But I ended up in the third heaven. I saw things that's not lawful for a man to even utter about the things that God has prepared for us. So you will see things. But be prepared to be misunderstood along the way. Okay? Now, God's plan is to bless dreamers, and that will ultimately be fulfilled. You know how long the attention span is of people in the church in America? That long. If God shows you something, when do you want it? Now. It's going to happen now. We expect it to happen now. You know, when I started this church, the Lord spoke to me. I believed it was God. That there would be thousands of people in this church. It's a happy day when we get, if we get 45 people, man, I'm dancing. You know, say, what is going on? It's been 14 years of laboring, preaching. My sermons ought to be on TBN. I mean, I'm telling you, this is good food. I mean, this is good spiritual stuff, the message of grace that God's placed on my heart. I mean, this is good food. And remember those words from my seminary professor? He that tooteth not his own horn, sometimes it be tooteth not. Right, okay. So if you won't tell me how great a preacher I am, I'll tell you. All right? But you know, that was on my heart, but it hadn't happened. Joseph went 20 years 20 years from the time his brothers sold him into slavery until Pharaoh exonerated him and lifted him up through God. It may take some time. I know God's told some of you some things. Don't despair. Keep the faith. Keep believing. If you had a word from God, maybe, you know, some of you who are more mature here than others, back when the charismatic movement was really kicking in, back in the 70s and 80s, you had some words from God that have not come to pass yet. Don't give up on those dreams and those visions. Keep believing, because God has not forgotten them. God has not forgotten them. And I believe with all my heart you'll see them come to pass. They got things that I'm praying about that I'm still waiting to see happen. Things that God told me. And it takes time sometimes for things to happen. One of the ways you can stir that along and get your heart prepared is through prayer and fasting. And that's what we've been doing this week. And that's why we're having a heightened level of spirituality around this church right now in some of your own lives. Because you're experiencing God in a way, in a heightened manner. You know what happened to Joseph? He lived in Egypt all of his life. All of his adult life, he lived in Egypt. But he ruled over everything. God, is in the words of Joseph Prince in the book title he had, destined to reign. We are destined to reign. And that's not in a great by and by. But we're destined to reign right here. We have all power and authority invested in us to use the word of God, to be a people of faith, to speak a thing against things that are that shouldn't be, to speak about things that are not as if they are, and to believe God, to be people of faith. Jesus asked this question. He said, when I come back, will I find faith here? And the answer to that is he'll find faith in the church and those who believe. Most churches don't believe anything. But this church needs to believe, and I know some of you do, believe and trust in God for the impossible things that God speaks to us that can come to pass. You remember when we did our first pass and God spoke to my heart, we're going to build a new church, I told you. And we're not going to build it with sticks and bricks. We're going to build it with electronic gadgetry. And all of this stuff you see here, the lights and the cameras and that, this little congregation, we had less people then in the room than we have right now, came up with over 35,000 dollars in 1 week. Cash. Not promises for the future. And there's no rich folks in this church. But people believe. And we're broadcasting out over the airways today around the world. Around the world, the gospel is leaving from this little storefront church. God told us to do it. And we did it. God gave us a vision last year that hasn't been fulfilled yet. But it said that this church would be like a sheepfold. That people would come here, and that there was a fence around us, and that as a pastor, I'd be at the gate and let them in. And they would come in, and they would come in. And the vision was that they were dirty and broken and limping, and they would come in, and the sheep that were here would assimilate them. And remember one of the things it said, that they would lick their wounds and take care of them and feed them. And that before you know it, you wouldn't be able to tell the wounded sheep that came into the sheepfold from the sheep that were already here and were healthy. We've seen some of that, but we haven't seen all of it yet. Okay? And now this year, the Lord's somebody just sent me a message on my computer's acting a little funny today. We have, what they just sent me, we have 57 people including what's here, and we have seven people online watching us right now. How y'all doing? So glad you joined us. But it'll take some time. But don't give up. He ruled over everything. God wants us to rule and reign. He prospered on the wealth of Egypt. He prospered on the wealth of Egypt. He was wealthy beyond your imagination. You've seen pictures of old King Tut's tomb and all the gold and all the wonderful artifacts they had. Those guys were rich. Those pharaohs were rich. And Joseph lived off the wealth of the world. Lived off the wealth of the world. God will take what's in the hand of the world and put it into the hands of his people. I believe that. God wants you to prosper. Since you should prosper, your soul prospers. I don't need you. I don't believe you ought to be poor and running around looking for dimes to rub together. I think you ought to prosper in the things of this world, that God will give those things to you. All right. His family was restored to him. They came and they bowed down, and his family and his brothers and his father and his mother all came, and Joseph took care of them. I believe those who are alienated from you today, God will bring them back to you, and will be brought to Father's house. But it happened in Egypt. And some of you got people you're praying for. I've got people in my family I'm praying for. I had the privilege Friday, after we laid Joanne's mother to rest, I went to see my cousin who's very, very sick, and her daughter was there. And both of them had lost their husbands in the last 2 years, and got to speak to her and lead her to the Lord. You know, lead her to the Lord. That's your family coming in. You know, so keep praying for those in your family that God will use you for them. When he died, I want you to go back to Joseph's day for just a minute with me. He loved where he lived with his dad and his mom and his family. And that got taken away from him. And he lived his life in Egypt among heathens, a different language, a different culture. And when he died, he said, "Do this for me. When you leave this place, bring my bones home." See, sometimes it doesn't come to pass. Maybe until you die. But it came to pass. And when Moses let them out, they took Joseph's bones with them. And they brought them back to Israel, where they are to this very day. That's a picture of the resurrection. We'll leave this place, this Egypt, this world and all of its things that drive us crazy, the sicknesses and the things that are bad and the murders and the hurting of children and the wars and all those things. We'll leave this place and our bones will be resurrected to new life, and we will be brought to the land that flows with milk and honey, the land called the eternal rest for the believer, the place of heaven. That's our ultimate destination. We'll be out here. We'll enjoy that together. That's God's promise for us. And you see it right here in Joseph when you look at this. Joseph is a picture of a dreamer of all believers. We're sold into slavery and sin. That's how we come into this world. And we become slaves to sin. God delivered Joseph from that. He delivered his people from that. He was sold into it. We are rescued. When the people of Israel, Joseph's family, came to Egypt, they were being rescued from the famine. And they were taken care of in the world. Beloved, God will take care of you in this world. Take no thought about tomorrow. Don't worry about food and drink. Your Heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of. But do this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are being added to you. God's pouring out blessings upon you, even now, that you can't contain. He was made ruler over the land, and God wants you to be a ruler over this land. He wants you to take authority over it. I am so excited about what's going on in Slidell, I'm beside myself. Last year when I was despondent and worried and concerned about how things were going in this nation, it was driving me crazy. And the Lord said, "Well, just get busy in Slidell. Make a difference in Slidell." And this is no pat on the back for me, but I want to tell you, I've gotten busy in Slidell, and I can tell you things have changed. Things have changed. Those of you who got my newsletter from last week spoke about some of those things. Just the impact I've had with the mayor and leadership of our town. Incredible things are happening. We're having a prayer breakfast, again, the mayor's prayer breakfast on the 31st of January. Well, I've got a some tickets. It's limited to the first 500 people that want to go. If you want tickets, you need to sign up back there. Bring your money, and I'll get you the tickets. I've got 20 tickets. 11 of them are already spoken for, so I've got another 9 that I can get, and I can try to get some more, but I don't even know if there'll be any more. They just came out last week, so if I don't have them, you can try online, or I'll try to get some more from the mayor's office. But things are happening. Okay. Please understand what I'm about to tell you. It's not any pat on the back to me, but I want to show you how God can work things out. Last year, when I spoke to our city councilman, Bill Borchardt, and I said to him, didn't the mayor say something about having a prayer breakfast when he got elected? And Bill said, yeah. He said, I said, well, why don't you talk to him? So he went that day, spoke to the mayor. The mayor said, yes, I did. Let's do that. And we put on the prayer breakfast last year. And while I was part of the committee was putting that on, and I was sitting in the meeting, and I heard this voice in my ear say, why don't you get some of the stuff that our founding fathers said and have the mayors who are going to be from the surrounding communities read that. And when I heard that, I thought, I don't know how this is going to go over, you know. So I brought it, so I just mentioned it. I didn't say, thus saith the Lord, but I just mentioned it. Unanimously, probably 12 people in the room said, that's a great idea. So I went and researched. And those of you who were there, I got all these prayers of and sayings from our founding fathers, and they were read. People came to me after that meeting, and they said, they didn't know I had done it, that I was responsible for getting it injected into the program. And they said, I never knew our founding fathers said that. I didn't know they believed that. So this year, they had the committee again. The first thing they said was, Morris, can you get some more of that stuff that we had last year from the presidents? And I had a book. I had bought a book called The Prayers of the Presidents. And this year, we'll have the prayers of some of our presidents read at the City Hall. Now, why did I tell you all that? Because God starts with small beginnings. We, and I put you in it in a collective ring with me, are having an impact on our community. And it's a big impact. A big impact. So you never know what God will speak to your heart. If I'd have just blown that thing off, as the Lord said, well, go ahead and make a difference in Slidell. If I'd have blown it off, I wouldn't have done anything. But I just spoke one word to one man, and the rest, as they say, is history. So let God use you. Be open for God to tell you things that maybe sound absolutely impossible to do. I believe that God can bring these things to pass. We rule over everything. And I want to close with this from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. For your children's children. You leave things for your children's children. That's generational prosperity that God will give to you. It says, but a sinner or an unbeliever, or the world's wealth is stored up for the righteous. God will take from the unrighteous and put it in the hands of the righteous. That's God's plan. Next week, God willing, this week we talk about you never understood, you're sent to help others, you're exonerated for all to see. Next week will be part 4 of New Beginnings for 2014, when your dreams turn to glory. What stirred me to think about that is, in fact, Linda had a video that she had of Joseph Prince, and he was talking about what he was going to do for the year 2014, and he said in a dream, God told him it would be the year of glory. I said, in a dream? God told you about glory. I thought, I got to go study that out. And I'm studying it out. And hopefully next week I'm going to preach a sermon on that. You never know. That's my plan. But if we don't do it next week, we'll do it the next week. We're going to have a day of celebration, so I'm not real sure all that's going to happen. But that's my plan for next week. So I'd encourage you to be here for that. And go home, take a nap, and dream a dream from God. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let me remind you that we will be praying Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here at 7 o'clock for about an hour. I invite you to come and be a part of that. Also, Friday will be a time of worship and prayer, okay? So you can have Thursday off. Okay, that's it. That's all you're off. What's that?
I said, don't miss Friday night.
If you miss it, you'll be sorry. Yeah, okay. The Wings is having a brief meeting immediately after the services, so Fran wants to tell you something. Seems like I want to say something else, but it absolutely skipped my brain. I can't think of it. Oh, let's pray for Marilyn. Marilyn is scheduled to have surgery Tuesday, all right? Open heart surgery. So let's pray for her right now, and I'll close the service in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had here today. We thank you for your word, which is certainly the nourishment of our soul. Father, cause the things that we've spoke about today to take root within us and to grow and to produce good fruit, that we may be like Joseph of old, that we may be exonerated and used for your glory here in this world. Father, we lift up our sister Marilyn to you as she's in the hospital down in New Orleans. Father, I ask you to comfort her today and tomorrow and prepare her. And Lord, I ask two things. One, that you would do a divine healing on our body. Lord, you are able to do that. And I believe that you are able to heal the sick to the uttermost. And I ask you to do that, first of all. And Lord, if you want to use doctors and nurses, that's fine too. But I pray that you'll walk out of that hospital on her own steam, just healthy as can be, giving glory to you for your divine touch. Father, I ask you to bless this day. Take care of us wherever we go. Let us be blessed in our going out and our coming in. Let your glory be seen in us and around us wherever we go. And Father, this we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. And the whole congregation said,
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, I'll be up here. I'll be glad to pray for you.